The FBI has the phone of the Texas church shooter, but on Tuesday, an FBI special agent said they couldn't open it because of industry encryption.
So it actually highlights an issue that you've all heard about before. With the advance of the technology and the phones and the encryptions, law enforcement, whether that's at the state, local, or the federal level, is increasingly not able to get into these phones.
Well, that phone is reportedly an iPhone, and in a statement, Apple said they reached out to the FBI that day, Tuesday, but the FBI didn't reach out to them in the first 48 hours after the Sunday shooting, when the gunman's fingerprint might have been used to open the phone. That function turns off after 48 hours to prevent a thief from getting someone's fingerprint, say, on a glass, and opening a phone. The FBI can also serve a warrant and get a copy of the data on the iCloud if it's uploaded. And some conspiracy theorists think the FBI wants to make this about encryption. After the San Bernardino shooting, the FBI and Apple also battled over unlocking a phone, but the FBI paid a third unknown party almost $1 million to do that. Peter Swire is a professor of law and ethics at the Georgia Institute of Technology. We spoke with him then. He joins us now by Skype. Peter, you say Apple shouldn't open the phone. Why?
So I feel strongly on encryption. I've testified in Congress on it and written about it for years. The basic concern from the law enforcement side is they feel they're going dark, that they're not able to see things they used to be able to see. And my view has been for years that, in fact, we're in a golden age of surveillance, that the law enforcement has databases and text messages and tons of other information, way more than they've ever had before. So it's not some terrible new era for law enforcement. Law enforcement has amazing access to evidence. At the same time, what we do fear is cybersecurity breaches. We've seen the Equifax breach. A phone is a data breach waiting to happen when it's sitting there. And the phone holds incredible amounts of information now. It's really a computer. So we don't want to have every phone out there waiting to be data breached. And that's where encryption comes in. You know, the phone should be secure the way your laptop should be secure.
Well, but right now, the FBI can also use, you know, software devices that can repeatedly try to use a passcode, for instance, to crack the encryption. But if you do that too many times and you're wrong, to unlock an iPhone, it can erase all the data. So they can't do that. And it's clear that someone can do this because after San Bernardino, they paid someone an enormous amount of money to crack the code. So given that someone can do this, why not have a system that you build security around where there are incidents like this, law enforcement can enlist the phone maker to get into the phone?
My basic story is we want to have good cybersecurity in our phones and our laptops. That's true for corporations, it's true for government computers, and it's true for the handheld devices of normal people. And so if there's a vulnerability, then what should really be done is we should let Apple know about the vulnerability so it can fix it. That's the ethical thing to do. That's where cybersecurity gets better for everybody involved.
Is it true that, in fact, Apple may not be able to open the phone?
Quite possibly, there's no one who can open the phone. It's also possible that with enough time and effort, they can figure out a way into this particular phone, depending how it was configured. It takes a lot of work to do that, and it should take a lot of work to do that because we don't want all our phones to be opened up to criminals whenever remotely or in person.
Well, but what if it was the phone of someone that, you know, hadn't done the shooting yet and you knew they were about to? You know, it's a hypothetical. If lives could be saved, does that make a difference?
I mean, that argument says, why don't we just have cameras everywhere with facial recognition because we might be able to do pre-crime and stop the people from doing things. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution hundreds of years ago said we're not going to have general warrants. We're not going to have surveillance everywhere. We have to have a free society, and when government has the right reason, they get to go look at stuff. That's the Fourth Amendment we've had for years. That's what continues today, where the police have access to the iCloud, the police have access to lots and lots and lots of things, but that doesn't mean they should break everybody's computers and cell phones.
Well, we also know that different cell phones have different encryption, are easier to get into. Even the phone in San Bernardino, although an iPhone, was easier to get into than the current models. But what would you recommend that law enforcement do?
I think the biggest thing for law enforcement is to get better technical capabilities and better training for police officers and for FBI agents. A lot of times things are possible right after an event happens. You want to get the good technical people involved quickly so that the evidence that is available is made available to the police. The other thing is that there needs to be more training and cooperation. The police sometimes could go to apps. The police can go to the cloud. The police can go to a lot of places for evidence. It's not as though the phone's the only source. And if we had better training on what is available, it might not feel so painful for what isn't available.
Last question. As an ethicist, what difference does it make? They can get the duplicate of the information from the iCloud if it's uploaded. So why does it matter if they get it from the phone, if they can get it from the iCloud?
If it's in the iCloud, there's legal process, there's lawyers involved and technical people involved to make sure that it's a legitimate request. If it's a vulnerability on the phone, that's vulnerable to hackers or the police, and that's where we don't want to have those kind of vulnerabilities.
Peter Swire, professor of law and ethics at the Georgia Institute of Technology, also author of the NSA report, Liberty and Security in a Changing World. Peter, thanks as always.
Great to be here.